Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 539. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Presented in 4-3 ratio.
Tony's a postage stamp.
Yes, you're just trying to trigger poor Jeff.
I am. Earl is here.
To maintain the integrity of the perfect, we are presenting this in 4x3. That is the reason we're doing it.
The integrity of the artistic vision.
We have an artistic vision. That's the funniest part.
Jeff, how do you feel about our artistic vision of squares?
I don't like it.
All right. Well, Jeff is here too.
Sort of. I'm like watching my connection just go apeshit.
No. Well, hopefully Jeff will be able to stick with us. We got a big night planned. We got some news, we got some games, and the NCAA tournament starts this weekend. And Earl's been running an action movie tournament.
Crap, I forgot to put up today's post.
On Twitter, which has been fun. And so I piggybacked off of that and thought we'd do a video game tournament. And Earl added the extra stipulation that the winner would go into our Hall of Fame. So that's going to be fun. We're going to get to that shortly. We're going to do round one tonight. And then the next 2 weeks, we'll kind of wrap that up. But so news, Square had an event today.
Did they?
I haven't seen it at all on my Twitter feed, so that really bodes well.
They put up a video and said they had an event. I wrote down here it was a non-event. They had a half hour video presentation that was mostly stuff we already knew about.
I mean, to their credit, we did know that going in.
Yeah,
it would focus on. The problem was, at least for me, wasn't so much that it was new about. It's that the games we knew about are, what is this, a kind way to say not great.
That's it. Not great.
they lacked a certain quality, as in they sucked.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, so a big part of their presentation was the Avengers.
Like, oh, no. No.
And it was weird, too, because, like, I knew they were doing the Avengers, but everybody figured it would be like, oh, we're going to debut a new character. And it's like, oh, here's Hawkeye, who I thought came out already.
The other Hawk, Kate Bishop?
Yeah.
Lady Hawkeye is out. I don't know if
Hawkeye.
Clint Barton is out yet.
But, I mean, he will be now. Or he is today. And then they showed the Black Panther DLC.
Which looked neat. Like, I mean, but it's probably going to be the same type of gameplay. Like, they didn't really show that in game, right? Like, they just showed... Hey, it's going to be Wakanda.
Look, here's some environments and some cutscenes. We're not going to show the actual game because we already know that we all think it sucks.
And I mean, that's the other thing. It's like they offered a roadmap, which is fine. But at the same time, it's just like, fundamentally, you haven't changed anything about this game that people disliked.
Right.
In fact, recently you've made the game worse for the people that were playing it.
Well, now, didn't this game still sell like really well? Like, didn't they make lots of money? Like, can't they reinvest that money into the game?
I mean, they could, and maybe that's what they're doing, but
like, it's not like Anthem, which did not sell well, and you know they just cut the cord there.
I mean, this sold well. I don't think it sold what Square was expecting, but their estimates are always a bit high.
But, I mean, again, I think the issue isn't necessarily so much that it sells. You can sell a game, but as a games as services, if none of those players stuck around, like, no matter what, like, you can invest all you want. If nobody's buying the DLC and the cosmetics, you're just throwing good money after bad money.
Yeah, like I have no desire to go back. Like if maybe if when the Black Panther stuff comes out, they're like, hey, this is really cool. He's fun to play as. That mini campaign that's going to come with it is fun. Maybe I go back then. But right now, I'm not updating that game to the Series X.
Well, the best parts of Avengers were when the game was like an actual like single player type campaign. So maybe if this Black Panther campaign is more like that, it might be worth playing.
Yeah.
And then the Hawkeye comes with DLC too. It's like Future Perfect, I think, or Future. It's based off like the mobile game, I think. It has like an Ode to Hulk in it and stuff like that. So there is some novelty, but yeah.
So that was a big part of their presentation was that Outriders was another one,
which looks really cool. But again, yeah. It's one of those, and I don't want to like just butt it down awful. But it's just what like, you already have a demo out. Like, yep. I don't need you to give me a 10-minute presentation on something you already let me play right now.
Yeah, like all that information I already knew. Like, they did show a little bit more, like in their cinematics, there showed a little bit more of the world where that was like where it was like really kind of drove into me. I was like, they remade Anthem. It's just they did it with like magic powers instead of Iron Man suits, because that's what this world looks like.
Yes, and they made it fun to play.
Yes.
The problem with Anthem wasn't that it was a bad idea. It was just a terrible execution. Two different problems.
Very pretty game Anthem was. It just wasn't fun. Like, but and this is. I enjoyed what I played of the demo. And the fact that it's coming to Game Pass day one. I will jump on that. Let's see what else they show. Balan Wonderland, which
Jeff, talk about that.
No, we need to because Jeff played that this past week, didn't you, Jeff?
I did, yeah.
And what are your thoughts?
I just remember I was playing it fucking, I forgot what night, but super fucking late, and I was drunk, but like, I just remember it being bad, really, really bad, like, just really. Like it was like when like we were first learning how to do 3D games. It was like impressed with itself that you could run around like with a like left stick and press a button and jump. Like it was just like, what the fuck is this? Like, how is this a real fucking thing? Did anyone else try it?
Oh, we've had impressions of it before. There's a reason I don't want to talk about it again.
Yeah. It's like, do not buy this under any circumstance ever. Like, but you know, if you're curious, the demo is free. So
it looks so weird. Like I still have not tried it. And based on what you and Earl have said, I have no desire to give it a go. But what a weird thing that is. What else did they show? Just Cause Mobile. Everybody's excited for that, right? Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, that's not a bad idea. It's just, it's such, like, it's, the game seemed fine. It's just that, like, for such a, I don't know, it's such a hard skill franchise that it's weird on mobile. I thought it was just, like, one of those, not ludish, kind of like a Fortnite game. But.
Yeah, that's what, like, because there were multiple, I saw, like Lara Croft in there, and so it looked like there were different characters as well as the Just Cause people who aren't very memorable.
I was about to say, is there more than one? Or is it the same person?
I don't know. They might all be the same guy. I don't know. Like, do people play Just Cause for the story? Like,
there's a story? I thought it was just explosions and like hanging from stuff.
I remember playing. I mean, I've never loved them, and mostly because I think it's a little too open for my tastes. But I do remember trying 3 or 4, and there was like there's a lot of exposition going on there. Like, this is not what I'm here for either. So, I'm sure that guy has a name. I'm sure they named whoever that main character is.
It's like the iconic guy from, I was going to say Just Cause, Watch Dogs. I want to say Marcus?
Aiden Pierce?
Aiden Pierce, oh God.
That's exactly who I was saying, Aiden Pierce. That's his name.
That's it. So the trench coat guy.
With his iconic hat. The most exciting video game.
Standing in front of the Chicago mountains.
They announced, I guess it's a trilogy pack of the new Tomb Raider trilogy for the 25th anniversary.
Now you can finally see how Lara Croft became the Tomb Raider in three different origin stories.
Well,
I know they're not all origin stories, but they're named as such.
Well, definitely the first two, right? Like, so the first one was kind of like a reboot, just called Tomb Raider. But then Rise of the Tomb Raider is very much you would think that kind of sounds like an origin. Shadow of the Tomb Raider, not so much, but that was the third one. So I guess that's coming out. I don't know if it's out yet.
They could have included the movie as well.
Yes. They said there's a new movie coming. There is there's a new movie, there's like a statue or something that they were.
You're already saying this.
sorry. my wife is like trying to get a code from my phone.
I guess the other thing also, it was actually kind of clever. In order to kind of get people interested to talk about it, they actually they were giving away, forget what they're called, the Warcraft and the Light of Osiris and Guardian of the something, I think. But like the top down isometric puzzle games, those were out for free on Steam or on PC. So
nice.
I thought that was an interesting way to kind of build buzz, and really it was a cheap way to get it trending on Twitter. But you know what? In this day and age, you do what you have to do, because Twitter has been exploited in all fanciful ways.
What else they show? A Hitman mobile game, which again? I thought that was weird because they don't own IO anymore.
But do they own the Hitman IP?
No, because that all went, like, I was making
Hitman games. That's right, they ditched it all.
So I thought that was strange. Maybe that was part of the deal, like, maybe that was already in process, but that was a couple years ago, wasn't it? Like, because they've released two Hitman games without Square now. I don't know, that was weird. Like, it's a co-op Hitman game.
Oh, God.
Where you're snipers. So that's a thing that's coming. And there was a bunch of Taito stuff. AR, is that the right term for like a mobile game where you're using, I guess, alternate like
Pokemon
reality.
Go.
Yeah,
something like that. But for Space Invaders.
It's augmented.
Augmented reality, yes. Like there's a Space Invaders game. Which look interesting, I guess. I think Earl, you said you like the Life is Strange presentation.
Yeah, I thought it was nice, and I think they finally fixed the biggest hurdle with that franchise, and that they're just like, yeah, we're just gonna give you the entire game so you can play it either as chapters if you want. I assume you're not gonna spread it out over time,
You can play them, like, if you want to play them in chunks, then you can, but cause there's chapter breaks, but they'll release it all at once, which is nice. I've forgotten the name of it, but that project, Aletha.
Oh, yes. I stepped out because I was just getting bored at that point and I had work to do. but it does seem like people were interested in that, and it's like a PS5 and PC exclusive.
Yep, it looks fun. Like very fast movement, I'm not sure what the game is. Like it's very open. You play as this lady who, it's like in a land of dragons, but she's like wearing like a t-shirt, like so. Seems like some sort of maybe post-apocalyptic or alternate reality type thing where she gets sucked into, but she has like special powers that like she can run like the Flash and jump and stuff. And it was pretty neat from what they showed, which is a lot more than when they showed it at the PS5 event, which was just kind of like, hey, we're working on a new IP. This actually had some gameplay shown. So that looks like it could be fun. I think that was it. It wasn't much of an event. They kind of said everything up front, what they were going to show. So there were no new things really going on. Let's see what else we got here. Earl, you have Sony buying Evo.
Yeah.
You want to explain that one?
No, because I don't understand
someone,
it either.
Please explain it. Someone, somewhere.
Because I dropped this in the group chat, and I was like, I don't get this on a business, practical, or executionary level. I don't know what having Evo adds to Sony. I understand why Evo would want a invest and buy them out. But for the most part, this PlayStation systems have always been the de facto fighting game systems at Evo anyhow. The biggest, one of, if not the biggest at Evo tends to be Smash Brothers, which is a Nintendo franchise, which to be fair, probably was on its way out because of, like we spent the last, we talked about Ash. There's been a lot of shit going on with that community. But, I don't understand this. I don't get like what Sony sees. It's not like Sony has a premier fighting game that they need to showcase. And even if they did, there are ways to get it onto the Evo stage without buying the entire company. I don't get the practicality of this.
It's weird. Did they say how much they bought it for?
I honestly just saw the headlines and I read the note from Evo and I'm just like, I don't care about this because this is such a weird one.
Yep. All right. Well, congrats on buying your fighting game tournament, I guess. Last thing we have here is Jade Raymond opened up a new studio with Sony. Like, is it a Sony studio?
No, or... I think it's a studio, but it's working on the PlayStation exclusive.
Okay. Called Haven, based on Jade Raymond's track record over the last three places she's been. I'm going to say that this is never going to release a game, but... I hope I'm wrong. I hope she's able to get something out there. It's funny that she is able to be, her name is kind of able to hold as much, you know, clout as it does, being as, I don't think she's released a game in years now.
I went to check this before this podcast, so I was not incorrect. Cause I was about to say, I don't know if she shipped the game in the past decade, but I guess she was on Battlefront 2.
Okay.
Yeah, and she was on Far Cry 4. So she has shipped. But yeah, she's gone because she's had Ubisoft, EA, Google.
Yeah.
I think there's another one in there. Was she on Microsoft? No.
No, I think it might have just been. I think she went from Ubisoft to EA, and then from EA to
Google.
To Google. And in she was in charge of Google Stadia Studios, and they shut that down. So,
yeah. So it's called Haven. I don't know if it's the studio of the game. I just thought it because it's like I feel like since she's left Ubisoft, it's kind of been like Jay Ramon sets up shop in a new area, and then it's like nothing comes of it and moves on. So I don't. I'm just hoping that it finally ships.
Yeah. I mean, I like new games, so
I will also say, and I, you know, I'm not gonna say it didn't sound sexist, but
how dare you, Earl? How dare you?
Okay, I will say it anyhow then. Well, no, I it's just like it's one of those things. Like, okay, you get Miyamoto, you get Kojima, it's not like it was like Jade Raymond's Assassin's Creed or anything like that. So I don't necessarily know if her name has that much.
No, I mean, she's not, certainly not on that level. It's just, I think, you know, she was one of the more public facing women, top women in games. She worked on Assassin's Creed 2. And she worked on the Assassin's Creed franchise for a little bit. So like big franchise that she was kind of the face of for a portion of it, even if it wasn't really her game. I mean, and Ubisoft did, like, they put her out there, like they got her in front of journalists. She was the one talking about the game. So, but yeah, she doesn't really have the track record of somebody like Kojima or, you know, guys like that. So, I mean, I don't even think she has like the track record of like Amy Hennig, who I think she was working with at one point at EA, but,
it's just one of those again, because and Eddie, I think if you kind of did not ship the S3 products, that
right,
it's not like you'd be promoted again,
right.
So, I mean, look, I hope whatever this studio she's created gets a game out there. I hope that game's good,
yeah, that's what you can hope for.
I don't think there was any other news unless you guys had anything else that you...
I thought there was something else we talked about this week, but I cannot for the life of me remember. And I'm going to... And this is a minor pet peeve of mine, which I can rant for mostly because I'm trying. Is that I guess video games don't make money because like all these sites now cover everything. And between Zack Snyder's Justice League tonight and Falcon and the Winter Soldier tomorrow, and then Loki get it. It's like all just like comic book news right now.
Yeah, like game, like even GameStop, it's in their name. It's like it's a Justice League and Winter Soldier bonanza going on.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, I mean, you do you, but I just kind of I wish there was a way to just filter it out by gaming news instead of just getting all of this at once. Like, at least IGN, I think, has like the channels. Where this is just like all at once. But yes, if I find what I thought we were talking about earlier in the week, I will let you know. But until then,
let's talk about what we've been playing then. Jeff, you play anything new this week?
No.
Except all for right, Balan.
Yeah, except for Balan Wonderland, right? Which you didn't like.
I mean, I've played games, which is nothing new, nothing exciting, nothing to really speak on, you know.
Call of Duty. Which you put a lot of time into that now.
Yeah. It's like I've always said, I really like this one, and yeah, I just like I thought I was done with it. I reached level 50, and I thought I was done. First of all, I thought if you reach level 50, you prestige.
Depends on like there's. Different games have different prestige levels. I'm not sure what prestige in this one looks like, though.
What does prestige mean? It, like, resets, right? Like, you go back to...
Resets the one, yeah.
Yeah. No, see, that didn't happen. Now I'm, like, I'm level 52 or 53. So, who knows? But keep getting cool shit. So, yeah, just that. And, you know, like, Rocket League and... Yeah, not much. I was looking at the store, though, today, and I found a game I don't know if anyone's ever heard of. I doubt anyone's played, called Mortal Shell. Has anyone even heard of this game?
I've heard of it. I've not played it.
It looks like a Dark Souls ripoff, but like actually looks like Dark Souls. Like it has like that vibe to it, so I'm like interested. And I looked up reviews. It has good reviews. It like, came out last fall. I didn't even ever... It slipped under my radar.
So many games released that even when we're paying attention to them all, we miss some.
And it is like $30 full price, so it's not like a full $60 game. And like I watched a couple reviews, and they're all like, this is a really short version of Dark Souls. Like it's like 12 to 15 hours as opposed to, you know, Dark Souls is easily twice that, you know?
Right.
So I was like, And I looked like, looking at it, it looks pretty good though. And so like a lot of them were like, it's like Dark Souls with like Zelda temples. I'm like, all right, dude, fucking I'm in. So I'm like highly considering it. I was like, this is, and then I was looking up if it ever goes on sale and it hasn't really yet. So
you could add it to your wish list.
Yeah.
Which I like the wish list feature on the Series X, and it's probably on the Xbox One now. But the new store, like when you go to your wish list, it'll actually go, hey, you have like 7 games that are on sale, and you can just click on that and it'll show you which ones they are.
I look at the store every week anyways though, or like the deals or whatever. Mm-hmm. But there's part of me that just wants to buy it because I really don't have anything to play. So it's like $30. I'm honestly thinking about not getting Monster Hunter when it comes out. So
really?
Yeah,
you're a Monster Hunter fan, so
I tried the demo and I was like, it seemed very familiar. I'm like, oh yeah, this is cool, and I'm like, you're gonna have to relearn how to play this, and you know, the Xbox version looks like the older Xbox game looks better, so I'm like, I don't know, I'm like on the fence about it, and it's like, I don't know if any of you guys are getting it, so I mean, that like diminishes it.
Yeah. For me. If I get it, it won't be for a while, so.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't know, like, part of the fun of that game is, like, teaming up, you know.
That's a Tony's Kid game.
Oh, yeah. No, I already got it pre-ordered.
You're getting it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally.
I'm on the fence. I really am on the fence on Monster Hunter. But, yeah, I don't know. I haven't really been playing shit.
All right. Tony?
Okay, just real quick, I remembered two pieces of news that I wanted to talk about. First was that Octopath Traveler, which was technically a Switch exclusive, came to Game Pass this week. And as far as I know, that was the first time it was announced. It was announced and it's like on Game Pass.
So, yeah, it will drop on Game Pass next week.
Okay.
Yeah, it was announced that it's coming.
I was going to say, it's on there right now. I'm going to fucking play it.
I think it's next, the 26th or 23rd. I think it comes out the 23rd on. It was kind of out of nowhere. They were just like, here's some new games. Also, Octopath. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Some of those other games look pretty good, too. I've been looking at, like, Empire of Sin for a while. I hadn't bought it because I'm literally like, this game's coming to Game Pass. It's coming.
It's on there.
Here it is.
Is that, like, that Mafia?
Yes, it's Paradox's Mafia Sim.
Okay.
Gimme.
Yeah, I saw that earlier tonight. I was like, this is a Tony game for sure.
I'll be playing it.
Isn't as fun, but it's Super Bomberman R Online, which is technically a Stadia exclusive. It's now coming to other consoles later this year.
Good.
So, and I believe it's free to play with 64 player Bomberman. So yeah,
that's a lot of Bomberman.
Yeah, the funny thing is, as some of the news reporters I followed were talking about, like, how, because, like, one of the big selling points of the game on Stadia was, like, oh, you know, the cloud gaming allows us to do 64 players. You can't get to do that on consoles. And then it's ported over to consoles just in a year later. So I guess you can do it on consoles.
That's that, and this was years ago when the last SimCity came out, when EA was like, oh, we have to do it online. It all has to be online because if it's not online, it doesn't work. And like, they took it offline and it works.
Isn't it surprising how that happened?
But I do hope that other Stadia exclusives, particularly that Pac-Man Battle Royale game, gets ported to other consoles. I think that nobody's going to play it on Stadia.
You never know.
Speaking of Game Pass, so Undertale, that dropped on Tuesday this week, which is like the indie RPG darling. And EA Play, I think, dropped today on PC. So that's been a while. been waiting for that. Although I looked at what they have available, and it was not not as extensive as I was expecting. Their vault is their vault of PC games, which I would think would be bigger. Does not have quite as many of the old EA PC games that I'd like to see. But, Tony, what have you been playing?
I think the Valheim has continued. So
Valheim.
It's a Viking game. It's a game about Vikings.
Sounds like a not venereal really disease.
Yeah, it is. I got this really bad case of Valheim. Penicillin's great. Love it. we've been having epic adventures in Valheim. It's one of those games where like the emergent stuff that happens is just really cool, really fun. So for instance, one of the mechanics in the game, you go out, you mine ore, you bring it back, you make it into stuff. You can make armor and whatever. Except ore is heavy, it's really hard to carry. So you can't bring very much of it. So you either have to find deposits to mine that are really close to your base, or find a different way of bringing it all back. The game has like carts that you can use to carry stuff around, but they're kind of unwieldy. And if you're moving through like trees or like up or down a mountain or whatever, it's hard to use a cart. It's much easier to like find areas of ore that are close to a shoreline and pack it all onto a boat. Because the boats have like unlimited weight, so doesn't like there's a like a cargo limit, but it doesn't matter how heavy the cargo is. So it's great to like something like ore that's really heavy. You don't have to worry about it. You just kind of load the boat up as much as you can, and then bring a whole bunch back at once. So we have some boats now, and like Sean is really a really great pilot, and you know he's really good about moving the boats through the water and finding all this kind of stuff in the world. But there was one night where Sean wasn't online. So it was Walt who took the boat out. Walt, not so great. He's out there with his boat. He's like running into rocks that are underneath the water and, you know, doing his best. But, you know, it's not as awesome as when Sean does it. And then he meets a sea monster. Now, there are these giant serpents in the game. They're almost the size of, if you're like on an actual Viking longship, they're that big. They're huge. If you get attacked by one, it's a big deal. You're like, oh my God, get this thing away from me. So Walt took the boat out, and he took it out by himself. So he's out there alone being attacked by a sea monster. He's like screaming, Tony, help, help. Of course, I'm just walking along. I was like hunting animals or something. I wasn't doing anything remotely tied to what he was doing. So he's being attacked by this boat, like, way out in the water. And he brings it back in. He's like, I'm still being attacked by the sea monster. And he's getting close to the shore and like, okay, I'm running there as fast as I can. I'm like, I don't know what the hell I'm going to do because he's out on the water and I'm on the shoreline. But I get there and I see this giant monster attacking the boat. Like, what can I do? I fire off some arrows. The monster just leaves, though. It leaves without sinking the boat. But the boat's in pretty bad shape. Walt is like, Tony, get on the boat. I'll give you a ride back to the base. I was like, you know, I'm good. I'm going to walk. So I'm walking on the shoreline as Walt is piloting the boat very slowly down towards the base. The boat is so weak at this point, like the waves that are hitting it are literally causing the boat damage. He's right next to the base, and the boat just sinks. Right there.
Oh, that sucks.
Like right there. It was close enough to the shore where we could like recover the stuff that was sitting on it. But like, well, never take the boat out again. But the best part was me taking a screenshot of this boat. It's just like the prow of the boat like sticking out of the water. Like, Sean, Walt's done parking your boat. we spent the rest of the night like collecting materials to rebuild Sean's boat for him, so that when he came back to the game, he would have something to sail around in. That's the kind of fun stuff that happens in the game. Like there have been, like, we've had other encounters where we've all been on the boat and fought a sea monster. So with the sea monster, to actually kill it, what you want to do is like shoot it with a harpoon and then like drag it to shore so that you can get all like the stuff when it dies. So like we were in the middle of the ocean though. We meet this giant monster. We're all on this big Viking longship. I shoot that sucker with a harpoon. I've got him. He is stuck there. And of course, Walt and Sean are next to me. They're shooting it full of arrows. They killed the sea monster. It's dead. Triumph. Victory. Except the thing you want to do with the sea monster is loot it. And all like the heavy scales that are like awesome for making shields sink to the bottom of the ocean or are gone forever. Because we didn't drag the creature to shore. But like the meat from the monster is like sitting there in the middle of the ocean. And we're like trying to figure out how to take this unwieldy fucking boat, because the boats do not handle it all well in the game. How do we get this boat to like get as close to the thing, to the meat that's kind of just floating there, so we can grab it? So Sean is piloting the boat, and he's trying to like swing it around, and at some point the boat just starts going straight. And we hear just, oh shit! And Walt and I are just sitting on the boat waiting for Sean to bring it around and grab the meat. For some reason, Sean has just jumped overboard. We're like, what? What are you? You were piloting the boat. Why are you jumping? What are you doing? And he didn't say, hey guys, can you get me out of the water? It's all he said was, oh shit. And the boat has momentum, it just keeps going. So he's sitting there like treading water in the middle of the ocean. And one of the most annoying things in the game is the swimming mechanic. It's based on stamina. And if you're not good at swimming, your stamina drains really quickly. And if your stamina hits zero, you drown.
Yes.
So Sean is there like treading water, afraid to move, because if he moves, his stamina will go down. Meanwhile, Walt and I, awesome boat pilots that we are trying to figure out how to turn the boat around so that we can go pick him up out of the middle of the ocean. Because if he dies, all of his stuff is going to sink to the bottom of the sea and be gone forever.
So how did he end up overboard?
I still don't know. It's still a mystery to me. We did. He like treaded water for like 5 minutes while we finally figured out how to turn the boat around and pick him up out of the water, and we did get the meat off the sea monster. So there's a happy ending.
Good.
But I don't know. This game is so much fun. It's just like the random stuff that happens is just so cool. I really like it. So
I know it's not the best advice, but I do think that it sounds like you folks should avoid water.
That's the thing, though. You can't.
Yeah, that's like, why I said probably not the best advice, but it sounds like you folks should.
We would be better off without it, but yes, it's
sadly you doing Walt? No offense, Walt. Love you.
He's a good swimmer, I think. Maybe. Sean's really good. He didn't die. I'd have died. Then again, I didn't jump overboard. Saying.
Fair point. Earl, you play anything this week?
I will just real quick. Fortnite started its new season, I think season 6.
Yeah.
And that has brought with it, and this was part of this presentation that we skipped over. I figured I'd just put it here. The big character, the big get this season is Lara Croft, the Tomb Raider. She is a skin in that game, and it looks like next week her mansion's coming into the game as well. I don't know. I mean, it will probably be a part of the like the map, so I'm curious about that. In addition to Lara Croft, it's really nifty because it's like her 25th anniversary, so they have like the original current costume, and then they have like there's like two or three other costumes I think you can get. And then a Raven from DC Comics is another character you can get this season. There's a big cinematic I'm sure you've seen where Ryu kills Banana. I have a friend who's really upset by that. but it was really nifty to kind of, like, I joked that this came out. Like, this really has become Ready Player One. Because you have Kratos and Master Chief in this video with the Walking Dead guys. You have Ripley taking out Terminators and Sarah Connor taking out Xenomorphs. So it's a very nifty choice. We've not seen it's like 3 minutes long, and it just kind of it's the gap from the previous season, which were kind of hunters, to this new season, which introduces wildlife. Wildlife and crafting. So part of this season now, there are animals on the map, so you can find packs of wolves, you can find chickens, frogs, and you can kill them. And yeah, some people have issues with that. And you can collect their pieces. And then so you can upgrade your weapons with either the pieces, like the bones from the animals, or like mechanical parts you break off of their car and electronic machines. And that creates, you know, like the electronic machines create the standard guns, and then the bones create what they call primal versions. And each one has like a fire rate, an ammo capacity, stopping power, speed, and stuff like that. So it's just another, you know, really nifty mechanic. That's kind of cool, but it's also like in a battle royale, I think when you add more and more ways where it's like, okay, I got this weapon, but I can't upgrade it because I haven't found like four of these parts that I need. And it's not like it carries over, so it's not even like you can stockpile them. So you have to find it every match. Right. It just,
it's not like the gold bars.
Yeah. So that's that. Outriders is out. I played the demo because you know, playing with a group of friends when it comes out. And I have one friend who's very, very, very meticulous when we play these types of games. So, like, he's just already asking people, like, what cast are you going to play? So he can kind of research his cast and get his stuff going. I've never been that type. I've just kind of heard to wing it, which may not always be the thing. but he was on that, so I picked it up to kind of figure out what I'm going to be. I'm most likely a pyromancer.
That's what I played as. That one was fun.
Yeah, it's a ton of fun to play as. I mean, you just burn everything down. So, and then like, the Technomancer looks cool as well. But just playing that. Yeah, like I said, it is Anthem, but actually fun to play. There's feedback to how you do. There's a variety of enemies. There's decent movement. You know, a good selection of guns. The one thing, and I forgot who pointed it. I think it was Jim Stern who pointed this out. I never realized, I don't get why every game as service uses that weird mouse cursor in the inventory that floats over, because then like sometimes you're on the box, but you're not on the box enough. It's really dumb, but you know, it's a minor. The game, like, this game is fun. The demo is shorter than I thought, because I guess there's only like two or three missions in it, and then there's a couple of side quests you can do.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then I think that. Oh, and I, while just before we started, I wanted to try out the Project Triangle Strategy. I think that's the name.
Yep.
Demo on the Switch. It is very reminiscent of Fire Emblem if you played that before. The one major complaint I have right now. Is it kind, because the game is broken up into three phases. There's like the story phase, which is cutscenes and people talking. There's the combat phase, which is, you know, the turn-based strategy element. And then there's the exploration phase. And when you're in the exploration phase, you just kind of run around, you talk to people, you gather information, you find resources on the map. That's not so bad. But like when you're in that phase, it controls like mud. Like, I don't know why your character is so sluggish there. I tried it with the analog. Tried it with the D-pad both ways. It just felt like there was, you know, like when you play a game, you try to move and it kind of doesn't move right away. You can feel that disconnect between your
motors, that delay,
what you want to do and what the game's doing. Yeah, it's just weird. And I'm like, I don't know why. It's not like a super intense 3D game. And this is like your third game on the system using this type of engine. So work it out, Square. But again, this is why they do the demo, so they can get this feedback. So. I think that's what I've been playing.
Nice. Not played much. I played a bunch of the Pathless over the last week. It's all available on PS5, but I'm playing it on iOS with my little controller attachment. That game's really neat. It is. I'm trying to think of like the best way to describe it. It's this very desolate world that. You are then going to these shrines and doing puzzles and getting these chips to then kind of put in these towers, which will then allow you to fight the boss of the area. And then that boss fight it's very like kind of cliche, like where you're hitting points on the boss. But what you're doing to do that, you have to chase it down first. So it's running away from you, and you're using this mechanic where you shoot an arrow and you get like this speed boost by hitting these tokens, totems on the board. So you're then trying to catch up to the boss of the area and take out the glowy points on it. And once you do that, you hit all the glowy points, your little eagle friend, your bird, you know, bird friend that you have, will then shoot a blast of light through it, and then you'll actually fight it in an arena where it becomes like a more traditional boss fight where you're trying to avoid like the different attacks, you're learning the pattern, and then hitting the different glowy bits on there. And then sometimes there's a third phase where you then have to like do like a platforming section or some sort of puzzle to that involves some timing to beat it. The like little puzzle areas though to get these totems to unlock the boss are kind of like shrines in like Breath of the Wild or Immortals. They're really short. They're not like big deep ones. They're like more, I guess they're more like the actual shrines in Breath of the Wild, where it's like just a, you know, a room or two, and you're trying to figure out this one puzzle. And they're all pretty fun. Like it's actually like the puzzles are neat. You don't have to solve all of the little shrines to move on. You just have to, you know, solve enough that you get the chips to unlock the towers. And I am on now, I guess the fourth and final area before the final boss. So, it's a, on iOS, free with Apple Arcade. It's neat. I don't know how you play this touchscreen. I think it would be really difficult, but for me, like playing it on iOS with that controller attachment is like it's been great. I don't know if I'd pay $40 on PS5 for it. Except it seems a little steep, but
don't do that.
I'm not going to. I'm playing it on my phone. But I don't know if I would want to pay $40 to play it on like a TV. That seems a little costly. And I think this is maybe something that Game Pass and Apple Arcade and these subscription services is doing. It's like, well, I mean, do I really want to pay $60 or $40 for a game? Like, I could just wait. Maybe it'll show up on one of my subscription services and then I don't have to pay for it at all. So I don't know if that's good, but I like not having to pay for games. So
it's always a good thing.
And the other game I'm playing is one that's been sitting in my backlog forever. It's a PS2 game called Cold Fear.
God,
ever heard of this one?
I have.
Have you? It's a Resident Evil clone, specifically a Resident Evil 4 clone. Like where it's that type of game, but oh my god! Like I love the setting of it. It takes place on this like Russian, on this Russian boat that has been kind of overtaken with a virus. And story wise, is really dumb. Setting is really neat, but yeah, like the story is terrible, and not in like the, you know, Resident Evil's bad, but it's like there's a charm to it. This is like D grade sci-fi movie of the week type writing going on here. And the gameplay is bad. Like the shooting's fine. The exploration is fine. It's just like Resident Evil has those puzzles, right? Like where they're stupid. Like you'll get the different gems and put them in the tiger and, oh, it unlocks this. And which you can then figure out like the pattern to put these things in. This is like, go get a key card. Now unlock the door.
Those so it's tough all puzzles.
Yeah, it's all like fetch quests, and then it does this thing where it's like, we want you, like you just came out of this door, but we don't want you to go back that way, so we're gonna lock it. But it'll be unlocked later. We just don't want you to go that way right now.
Yeah.
It's like really frustrating. It's like, but I know I can get where, like, it's two rooms on the other side of this door that I just walked through where I need to find. I'll walk all the way around the boat. And now I'm on, like, it actually at some point, like, it takes a jump from the Russian ship to, like, a rig out in the middle of the ocean. So you kind of explore this bigger area. I don't know. I'm going to finish it, mostly because it's been a game I've been waiting to, I don't know why I've been waiting. I've had this game for probably 15 years now. And I think I've only ever played, like, the first hour of it. But now I'm making some progress through it, and I'm finally going to put that one away, cross it off the backlog. But it is not a suitable substitute for a Resident Evil. In fact, Resident Evil does that setting better with the Revelations, which was originally a 3DS game. So, Jeff, you said you knew about that game?
Yeah, I mean, I'm aware of it. I've never played it. It's hard to go back to PS2 games sometimes, especially like middling PS2 games, but even good ones look like kind of blurry on your TV now.
This one looks bad.
Like, yeah.
And because it's a horror game, and this is funny because, you know, back when it came out, it would have been like, oh, this is terrifying because you can't see shit. Now it's just like the fidelity is so bad that it's like, I can't see shit. Yeah, it's like, I can't see shit because the game just isn't rendering it. Like, there's nothing to see. Whereas, like, you know, if I up the contrast and brightness on my TV, like, there wouldn't be anything there because the textures are so dull that you're not really lightening anything. Like, it's just, there's nothing there to enhance. It's funny, so like I couldn't figure out where I needed to go at one point, so I looked up a YouTube video, and they're playing on PC where they've like up-resed everything and it looks nice. Like, this is not what it looks like on my television. And I'm playing on like I don't hook my PS2 up to my regular TV.
Oh,
because that would make no sense. You hook a PS2 up to a 4K TV, and
I've done it.
But as you said, like, it looks really muddy, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So like I'm hooking it up to like an older model television that I probably would have played on like at the time, and it doesn't have that crispness to it, but also like it's just looking at how this person's playing on like the PC version and what I'm playing, I'm like, these are not the same game. This is so much prettier. Oh, but yeah, I'm gonna finish that and the Pathless. So, all right, tournament time. So, to kind of explain this to everybody listening, we are going to go through. We each have picked 8 games. We have our own bracket. So we are like the East, like Tony's like the East section. I'm the West. I don't know what the other ones are. Is it North, South, East, and West, or is it like Southeast? Or it doesn't really matter. Who cares? There's the Chris bracket, the Earl bracket, the Tony bracket, the Jeff bracket. The rules of that bracket are that the person who created that bracket can't vote on those games. So we'll vote on the matchups that the other people have created to come up with 4 winners from each bracket. Then we'll move on next week. We'll break it down even further. But we're going to go through the 16 matchups tonight. And I guess I'll kick it off with my bracket, and then we'll move on from there. So the first matchup here, my 1 versus 8, is Castlevania 3 Dracula's Curse versus DuckTales.
Woo!
What say you guys?
I love DuckTales. I love it.
That's hard.
No, it's not. DuckTales.
No, problem it's hard. Solved. That's really hard. Good God. It's just, I love the music in DuckTales so much. And I love the, like, the pogo stick or whatever mechanic.
Yeah, it's fun. Scrooge is fun.
But I do think that Castlevania is, like, a better game. Fuck. Earl, DuckTales, you got thoughts on that?
DuckTales, Earl. DuckTales.
Earl is abandoned. Ship.
Oh, I said. Oh, sorry. I thought I didn't realize I was on mute. I said I went Castlevania. So.
Oh no.
One.
Oh no. Tiebreaker here.
Yes.
This is why you should vote ahead of time, so you get none of that pressure.
I think this is really tough, but like gameplay. Oh man. I really do like the gameplay in DuckTales. Like I said, I like that pogo mechanic, but like just as an all around game, I think Castlevania is a better game.
So you're going with Castlevania. So 2-1.
Dude, that's a. I don't like that matchup. That's not nice.
All right. Well, I will move Castlevania 3 to the next round. Tony, that was a good push though. You almost had Jeff there going for DuckTales.
I didn't really care, but you know.
Sure you didn't. Wink.
Sure.
All right. My number 2 vs. 7 matchup is Resident Evil versus Silent Hill.
I'm gonna go Resident Evil. Wait. Just to clarify, Resident Evil or Resident Evil Remake?
Resident Evil 1, the original PlayStation version of Resident Evil.
Oh, God.
Because Remake, I feel like, would be a slam dunk.
Yeah, these are both PlayStation games, so let me clarify that. Yeah, now I've stumped Earl. He was like...
Like I said... If it was Remake, it's an easy slam dunk. I think Resident Evil is charming, but it is also very much a product of its time, which is why it got remade within like 5 years.
Yes.
This ain't hard.
So it must have sucked. There we go.
It just really, 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 really goes for that B-movie horror film that the rest of them don't really... Like, they go for it, but they don't go for it in the same way. Let's go with that.
So, what are you voting for?
The YouTube go and see what I have to say.
I don't care.
I said Resident Evil easy for me. I don't like Silent Hill.
I don't have a dog in this race. So.
So then we're gonna go Resident Evil.
All right. Right now the favorites are moving.
I was gonna say no big upset so far.
All right, so here we go. This one might not have any opinions. Well, might have an opinion from Tony, but I don't know if the other two are gonna have much of an opinion. Number 3, NHL 94 versus number 6, Madden NFL 95.
Oh, Madden.
Madden. We are not going to support hockey on this show.
So. I would go NHL, but I guess it's
a shame. Go Madden.
All right. Well, I guess Madden is moving through. And number 4, Max Payne versus number 5, John Woo presents Stranglehold.
John Woo presents Stranglehold. Nobody else?
I'm with Earl. I've only sampled both of these games, and I think Stranglehold felt more modern.
I mean, it is more modern.
It's a 360 PS3 game.
It's like, yeah, so it's like, if you're making me choose between two games I've not really played, I liked what I played to Stranglehold more.
All right. Well, there we go. Castlevania 3 makes it through to the second round. John Woo presents Stranglehold. Madden NFL 95 and Resident Evil. All right, who wants to go next?
I can go next since I'm sure you're all going to vote so for mine. So yes, I wanted to do something slightly different from mine, so I kind of went with the mobile division, which is just like 8 of the biggest mobile games I could think of.
Oh God!
But you were here when I read off my list. You know what's on it.
I know, but I'm still, you know, I'm reacting again because it was such a bad idea.
Okay, so did you like try to make a list that you knew was going to lose ultimately?
I wanted to make a list that was diverse. I mean, I don't expect the mobile game to win, and I kind of have an idea of which mobile game I think Upsis will make it to the final four. But I wanted to just, I think mobile games kind of get the short end of the stick, and I figured it was something different. And like, there's a Mario and Zelda, and you know those games again. So I didn't bracket these in the same way Chris did. I just kind of went through and kind of tried to do. Essentially, I kind of tried to do them in chronological order when they came out.
Okay.
So my number 1 and 8, or my first round, my first matchup is Fruit Ninja and Pokemon Go.
Pokemon Go.
Yeah. There's no even debate that needs to happen there.
Yeah. Like I said, I figured Pokemon Go is going to be an easy one to get through. The next matchup is Bejeweled 2 and Puzzles and Dragons.
Puzzles and Dragons.
Bejeweled.
I'm going to go with Bejeweled.
I like Bejeweled.
I like Bejeweled 2, but Puzzles and Dragons is a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's you know, sometimes you just want to play a puzzle game. You know what I mean? Just a little, like...
Aren't they both puzzle games?
Yeah, but, like, Bejeweled is just so basic.
Bejeweled is just, yeah, it's such a straight...
It's just a straight... I mean, it is kind of the puzzle game that a lot of other puzzle games are designed around. Yep. Like, the match 3 gems and stuff like that. So the third matchup is... I'm going to switch it on air. It's going to be Angry Birds versus Flappy Bird.
Oh, God, that's a lot of birds.
Wait, Angry Birds versus Flappy Bird. I got to go with Angry Birds here.
So don't care, but I have tried. I know what Flappy Birds is, and I have tried Angry Birds, and I go Angry Birds.
Angry Birds. Flappy Birds is overrated.
With the sweep there.
Game 2 for Angry Birds. And the last one is Among Us versus Candy Crush Saga.
Oh.
Among Us.
I am going to go with Candy Crush. Only because I played so much more of that than Among Us.
Among Us is overrated. It's overrated.
I mean, Candy Crush is still going strong.
It is.
10 years later.
Is it really? Like, is that still, like, super popular?
Yeah, people still play it. Yeah.
It's still, wow. I mean, I'm not going to say if somebody still has it on their phone or not, but there are sequels and stuff. There's, like, there's Candy Crush Saga, there's, like, Candy Crush Soda, there's Candy Crush Jelly. So, yeah, there's a variety of Candy Crush games, and these go deep into the numbers. I mean, back in my heyday, I think I got into the 1,000 range or something like that with the levels in the Candy Crush game. Because I mean, it was it's a mobile game. I used to have it on my phone. I don't because when I switched over phones, I also my progress, and I was gonna start that over again. But you also used to be able to do it on Facebook, and like with Facebook, when Facebook was kind of into the gaming phase, it then always show like. So then, like, all your friends would try to beat your high score, like that unofficial kind of arcade mentality. So yeah, I'm happy they got rid of that.
All right. Well, I guess Candy Crush beating Among Us, the hot upstart.
Yeah, I was about to say I honestly think that's a big upset.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, so there we go for Earl. Pokemon Go, Bejeweled 2, Angry Birds, and Candy Crush Saga making it through. All right, Jeff, Tony, okay. Who wants to go?
I got you.
All right. God.
I just picked 8 games off the top of my head, and I did not bracket them all, like, you know, put them in the brackets, but I could do it on the fly. So,
do it how you want it.
First matchup, you know, and I didn't have like a plan of what I was going to match up against what, so I'm just doing it here, like I said, on the fly. We're going to do NHL Hits 2002 versus Tiger Woods PGA Tour 2003.
Tiger Woods.
I think those are RG specific years. Why M?
Those are the ones I like the best.
Did you say PGA Tour 2003?
Yeah.
I'm going to go hits, but I know Earl doesn't support hockey, so.
And, but I don't know if I support golf. It's not Mario. So. I am going to go, I'm just going to coin flip it and see. Heads is for hockey, tails is for golf, and we get tails. So that is golf.
Boy. Yeah, I mean, it's Tony breaks it here.
I thought he voted already.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, yeah, it's he voted golf. For Tiger. So
Tiger Woods advances.
Earl's coin flip.
Sorry, I mean, if it was me voting, I think I'd go Tiger.
We don't care about your vote.
Yeah.
Moving on.
All right.
Yep.
All right. So next matchup will be Guitar Hero versus Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2.
Guitar Hero.
As we know, Guitar Hero is not actually a game. So.
I like Tony Hawk. Thank you, Tony.
So it's
good. This is your pick, Jeff. How are you championing them?
Guitar Hero 1.
Yeah, Guitar Hero 1.
The original Guitar Hero.
Versus the new Tony Hawk.
The new old Tony Hawk. If it was Guitar Hero 2 or 3, I would probably go over Tony Hawk. But I think this is just the original. I'm gonna go Tony Hawk here.
Suck it, Guitar Hero.
Again, yeah. These are your picks.
I mean, both of what I was picked out of those two, though, is one. So, all right.
So weird. All right. Go ahead, Joe.
All right. Okay. We'll do Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance versus Dark Souls 2.
Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance.
I have no fish in this fight.
Dark Souls sucks.
Dark Souls 2? I agree with Tony. I mean, not that Dark Souls sucks, although I don't want it. But I love Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance, so.
Yeah, I love that game so much. I don't know if I'd be able to choose out of those two. Mm. So I guess that one, Baldur's Gate, wins that one?
Yes, because Tony and I voted for it, so. Even if Earl's like, Dark Souls 2, yay.
Earl, do you want to throw a vote at it?
Not really. Okay. I don't have... I not appreciate either one to have a say. So,
Dark Alliance is a lot of fun. I mean,
it's a
great couch co-op game.
I would pay so much for an HD remake of it. So much.
It would be so good.
Isn't there a new one coming out, or what is
it? Yeah, so we talked a lot about it this week. It is not that game at all. What they're making with the new Dark Alliance game is it's basically a third person over the shoulder action, like button masher type game.
Like kinda God, I don't even know. But yeah, just what Chris said, and it's like co-op and you know.
I think Sean said Demon Stone. Which I remember playing, but I think like it looked more to me like the Lord of the Rings. Like you remember the two Lord of the Rings games?
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what it seemed like to me.
Yeah, but you know, but it has like that like RPG system behind it.
Yes, instead of being an arcade game like those were. Yeah.
I mean, Sean was talking mad shit about it. Like I watched the trailer and I watched another thing right before we recorded tonight. Like a little like. Impressions thing, and I'm like, I don't know, dude. I'm excited. Like, it doesn't look like amazing or anything, but like,
no, it looks like the $40.
Yeah.
I get what Sean's complaint with it was that it looked like there was no weight to anything.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, and if like it's not Dark Souls, right? Like, yeah. it's like more of an action adventure type game. The piece that I'm like kind of upset about, and I know we're. Moving, we're delaying the final competition here. But the piece that I was kind of disappointed about with it is that you don't make your own character. You're playing as these these four established characters from R.A. Salvatore's books. Which I like. Yeah. I love those characters. Like, I named one of my dogs after the lady ranger. But I wish you were creating your own character.
Like, that's creating their appearance, like their facial features and stuff, or
I just wish you were creating a character like that.
I'm totally fine with I'm playing as the fucking dwarf or whatever. Like, I don't, that's right. Totally like
you
doesn't
you
matter to me. Yeah.
I mean, it'll be fun. Like, I've wanted a Icewind Dale Drizzt type game for a while. It's just this isn't calling it Dark Alliance is not what I was expecting out of it. Whatever. All right.
That looks fun.
Last matchup.
Last matchup doesn't really make sense, but both these games own Monster Hunter World versus Hitman 3.
All right. I cannot comment on Hitman 3 because I have not played it, so I will.
That's an odd choice. Longer. What was the Monster Hunter World? Hitman 3, really? Like,
you got a problem?
Yes, my problem is that it's like an iteration of the previous Hitman games. It's like,
so I got iterations all over this bitch.
Right, so but the previous two games are actually inventive and good. This is like more. It's just like
okay, Hitman 2.
So,
Hitman 2.
You can't pick Hitman 2 because Hitman 2 is on my list and you put Hitman 3 on your list, so you're fucked.
So you're just bitching because you fucking...
No! There was Hitman 2, there was Hitman 3. You picked the worst one. Why, Jeff? What is wrong with
that? Here's
Monster
the thing,
Hunter, that's my vote. No, you're done, Jeff. You don't get to vote here.
Tony's just mad because I picked
it. No, game. I'm not mad.
Hitman 2
screwed
in
up.
It, bro.
You screwed up. That's all I'm saying, Jeff.
I mean, they're,
you could have done better.
They are both Jeff's games. So
you screwed up. So Monster Hunter World.
I mean, I don't think he screwed up.
Not at all.
Jeff fucked up. That's all I'm saying.
Earl, do you have a opinion on Monster Hunter World?
I don't. I feel like I don't want to give it to Monster Hunter World because I hate the online setup. But
they fixed it. It's better now.
Did they?
Yeah.
Can you play without watching other people's cutscenes?
You can play without watching other people's cutscenes.
So you don't have to wait for them to go into town.
No.
Okay, then I might revisit Monster Hunter World.
You should also go back because if you're playing it on the Xbox Series X, it loads infinitely faster.
See, that's like... There's like the part of me that just wants to play Monster Hunter World instead of getting Rise, man. Like, that's the thing. It's like,
then do
oh,
it.
It's on a better system. It's going to look better to begin with. Like,
did you play Iceborne, Jeff?
No.
Go play. Back and play.
Is it free?
No, Iceborne is an expansion. So. But it would
be cheaper than Rise.
I guess. Yeah, good point.
But Rise will be supported into the future.
It's true. Monster Hunter World is done being supported.
Monster Hunter World got a world of support though. So like, you go back, you're not gonna see creatures you've never seen before, and that'll all be free.
But you don't get.
Did you play through like the Witcher content? No, you got to go back. You got to go back.
I went back though, I would have to like totally start over, like new character. Like, I don't, you know.
Now you can get like people in Japan to help you. It'll go super fast.
You can throw up the flare and people will actually show up.
Oh yeah, my kids still do it. They play it all the time.
Very interesting.
Just as a quick aside, because I didn't actually watch it this week, I actually did see the Monster Hunter movie, and honestly, not that bad.
Right?
It's enjoyable. Like, I think they do a good job of merging some of the game elements into it without like making it overly complex or being like, hey, this is from the game. Like, it has a stupid moment, but I thought for it's like an hour and 40 minutes, it blew by. I was invested. I enjoyed it. Like, it's not the most sophisticated or smartest movie, but it's enjoyable.
For a movie where the co-star, Tony Jaa, basically is mute for...
That said, I do enjoy their chemistry.
Yeah, they have good chemistry. Like I was going to say, like for the fact that he does not communicate with her like verbally, like they get along real well and they're fun to watch together.
Yeah. Yeah. And I thought, granted, his wig is something else, but Ron Perlman is also kind of fun in it as, and that's not a spoiler. He's in the beginning of the movie, but he's fun in it as well. The only thing I dislike, and this is a spoiler, is that this ends on a massive sequel tease. And I'm like, I don't know if you get this sequel.
Yeah. It does. Like, it's just like, oh, we got to go back.
It's not even like we have to go back. It's like they're charging this giant monster. And it's like, face the credits.
Don't they show like a robed figure too?
Yes, yes. And I'm like, I don't know who you are. I don't even know who you're supposed to be in the games you're, but sure, let's go with it.
It's very weird.
The one consistent joke that I have with my friends though is like, it feels like this was like Paul W.S. Anderson was just like, I really up this desert for Resident Evil, the final chapter. Because that's the first half of the movie is like in the desert when he fights the dragon. He's like, I'm just going to reuse this for Monster Hunter. Like, this is a perfect, I just love visiting this desert. So
probably a cheap location to shoot.
Yeah.
I would imagine, right?
I was also going to say, he has some weird fetishes because his wife in this movie gets knocked out, tied up, jailed, strapped down. And I'm like, this is kind of, I feel uncomfortable right now.
A bit much.
Just a tad.
This is Monster Hunter we're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. And not... Jeff, if you want to know, it's in 16 by 9. So.
I've heard nothing but good stuff about it, not just from you guys. Like people like Paul. Was it W.S.
Anderson? W.S. Anderson, yeah.
People like him. I can't say that I've seen anything by him I like, but sounds fun. I want to see it.
It's dumb fun, and if you go and like, just like, look, I want to have some dumb fun, it hits those expectations.
Yeah. And, you know, I like Monster Hunter, so.
Yeah. All right, Tony. Last bracket. Yes.
All right, this bracket was prepared with care long before the
clearly.
All right, Madden 04 versus Europa Universalis 04.
Wow. I don't know, those are both iterations, so I don't know.
Again, I'm kind of curious, why Madden 04 in particular?
That's just like one of the best. Like,
no, that's the Michael Vick year.
Yeah.
That's one of legendary.
Is that when they added the dog fighting yet?
He's just like, you could run all over anybody in that game.
It was fun to play. It was a weird experience.
That's like when Madden got its footing in that gen and everything. It kind of like really set Madden going forward. I think, I don't know, like till like maybe a generation ago. Now it feels different.
I'm gonna vote Madden.
I vote Madden.
I'm going to know that in too. That's pretty much it.
Madden with the sweep. Mostly because we've never played a Europa Universalist.
I feel like I've played it. How much he's talked about this game, but like I don't listen when he's talking about it. So
there was an expansion that came out recently too. So I'll be talking about it more at some point this year, but I haven't played it yet.
All right, next matchup. All
right. Let's go Total War Warhammer 2 and Baldur's Gate. The real Baldur's Gate, not the fake one that Jeff really likes.
Ooh, that one's tough.
The isometric RPG.
This is worse than the mobile category already. I don't like it.
I like both these games, though.
They're both very, very good games.
I vote Baldur's Gate.
Right. Earl, you got a
Earl's like, these are PC games. I don't know what to do.
I'm going Baldur's Gate now.
You're going Baldur's Gate. I will throw my vote behind Warhammer 2. Because like Tony's stories about that have been great. And I'm really looking forward to Total War Warhammer 3.
Oh, looks so good. I can't wait.
I think I played the original Baldur's Gate, I think it's on GameCube. So
No, you probably played
that's
the one
Dark
that
Alliance.
Jeff had.
Dark Alliance. Okay.
That's Dark Alliance.
So If you played that one,
is
an
isometric RPG. It is not. It is not whatever.
Oh, so this is the non-fun version. Got it.
Yes.
No, and, this version is great. I don't know if you'd enjoy it, but it's really good. It's
Earl, if you played the first one on GameCube, that was like the one I played first, I think. I want to say I played it on GameCube before PlayStation 2. And like that is, dude, just easily one of my favorite games of all time. And I think it is the game that introduced me really to RPGs. Like, I had tried RPGs before and not liked them because they were like turn-based, you know, on 16-bit systems and shit.
It's still the best one of those three types of games that came out that gen, because there was Baldur's Gate, Dark Alliance 2, and then I don't know if you guys, actually there was three of them. There was a fourth, I mean, but there was Champions of Norrath.
And then Champions of Norrath 2.
There might have been a second one, but there was also there was a Fallout game like this called Fallout Brotherhood of Steel.
Yes.
Okay.
That was similar to this too.
On console?
Yeah, on console.
Really weird.
Yeah. The closest game you may, I mean, Dragon Age games are pretty close to the style.
Dude, I think like
a little more story, but
I've never played that Fallout one, but I've played the others, and like I know there's people that say Champions of Norrath. No way, dude. Like no, like nothing. Nah. That genre, like that first one, that genre has not topped in my opinion. Like Diablo 3 is like close, I guess, just because it's a good modern like game like that, I guess, but like doesn't have the atmosphere down like Baldur's Gate, Dark Alliance did. Anyway.
Tony, what is your next matchup? Baldur's Gate move through there based on.
All right, I want to see Jeff fight with himself here. This is Assassin's Creed Valhalla and Hitman 2.
This is so easy because you voted against my Hitman, you fucker.
I don't care what you vote here.
Again, I am so fascinated by Jeff.
Jeff's like, oh,
no, because he got all pissy with me about
Tony's game of the year from last year. Let me. Oh shit. I tricked you. You're a fool, Jeff.
I'm gonna go Hitman 2 here. Only I haven't played enough of Valhalla yet. Earl, that leaves you as the deciding vote here.
I've played Hitman. I've not played Valhalla. I mean, it's got to go Hitman.
All right. See that, Jeff? That's how a Hitman game moves on to the next round.
I thought you didn't want it to move on.
So I'm confusing. Changeable.
I genuinely like if I'm picking out of those two, like yeah, Valhalla, but whatever. I'm not mad about Hitman Advancing, I guess.
Both good games. So
yeah, no, they're both really good.
All right, final matchup.
Mass Effect 2 and Fallout New Vegas.
Mass Effect.
Oh, man, you know what? New Vegas.
Love that game.
Yeah.
So this is now down to Chris.
I'm going to have to disappoint you, though, Jeff. I'm going to go Mass Effect 2 here.
I mean, I get it, but yeah, there's something about Vegas, but yeah, I get it.
I mean, they're both great RPGs, so.
One is less buggy than the other, I guess. There's that.
That is true. All right. What were you going to say, Earl?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I mean, I think that the strength of Mass Effect 2 in particular is just it has a ton of amazing side characters and some of their... Because, I mean, that is a game driven by the arcs of the characters more than the actual plot of the game. And there are... Yeah, but I think it's just a really great... I feel like you speak to people and they have these connections with these characters in Mass Effect 2. And you can ask people, you know, like, I mean, granted, it's kind of disgusting who you hooked up with, but also just kind of like, who's your favorite side character? You'll get almost everybody on that in that roster will be somebody's favorite.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I mean, part of it for me is just like the gameplay is just, it's the best that series has ever been.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's so tight. Like I like New Vegas, but. And like it still has that Fallout combat.
You know, like, gameplay wise, yeah, Mass Effect beats it. But yeah. Just like like my reasoning on Vegas is it's just like so interesting. Like it's just it's
yeah, it's a, the best written Fallout game.
Yeah,
no doubt.
There's a robot you could fuck, like
that's basically Jeff's highlight right there.
when that happened in that game, I was just like, wow, like anything is possible. Shit could come out of nowhere, and next thing I know, I'm fucking a robot. Like,
but you can bone any of the companions in Mass Effect 2, right?
Yeah, but it's like in those games, it's like this whole romancing thing, and like in Vegas, the way I remember it is like I just ran into a side quest, and like at the end of doing the mission for the robot or something, it was like,
so the robot paid you with sex?
Okay, I something like that. Like it's been so long, but
all right,
it's it wasn't like, because you know like how like in Mass Effect or whatever, like games like that, like. You have to go through like a whole, like kind of like make sure you tick off all these boxes to make the romance work. Like this was just like I did a thing for this robot, and he's like, "You want to fucking?"
To be fair, that is the difference between a casual hookup and a date. So
yeah, true. And there's casino, and it's just like so many different areas and all the factions, and like I don't know, man. But it doesn't matter because it lost. So.
All right, well, next week we'll do round two and round three, selecting I think that's what
it is
8 to 12. It'll be 12 matchups instead of 16.
Wait, is that the case? Oh, yeah. Wait.
One.
Because we had 8 each. So that's 4 matchups. So, yeah, it should, 8 matchups. There we go.
Yeah, 8 and then 4 for round 3. So we'll... At the end of next week, we will have our final four, and then we'll wrap that up. The first episode of April.
I've always found that fascinating about March Madness because it actually doesn't end until it's not halfway through March and ends in April, but it's March Madness. So
I think whatever. It's because the madness part is like the first.
It's the 64.
Yeah, like it's crazy, right? Like sort of for the first. You've 32 games and then 16 games in the first weekend. So I think that's the madness part. And then it comes down to a regular tournament at that point. But our tournament will be less crazy. But so we'll come back next week with those matchups. This is an interesting list here. We're gonna have an interesting Final Four.
I mean, that's what makes March Madness exciting. You never know. Like there are those teams that are in there, and then there's those really random ones that. And I mean, just real quick, you can scan this. None of the games that we picked for the next round are actually in the Hall of Fame yet, right?
I do not believe so.
So that worked out too. So that was gonna be my fear. Like one of the games that ended up going would be the game that's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, so when we decided on that, I specifically, like for mine at least, I specifically chose games that were not.
And that was one of the reasons I also went with mobile games. I know we don't have any mobile games in
our yeah.
Like, that way I can at least avoid having these be duplicates.
But yeah, I think we each have a strong group of four here. Maybe not the ones that I would have pushed through on my own side, but
it feels like a lot of people may not have necessarily picked games that the person who had the bracket wanted to get through, right, Jeff?
I feel pretty good, actually.
I mean, if you picked a bracket of like 8 games that you liked,
you're gonna have those. But
look, I have 4 games that I like now instead of
8. I feel like in most cases, it's what I would have voted, and I also feel very good about certain games' chances. So. Just leave it at that.
One of these final 16 is going to end up in the Hall of Fame and will be our first 2021 entry into the Hall of Fame at the beginning of April. So we'll be back next week with that. There are some games coming out next week. It does not look like Jeff is going to be buying Monster Hunter Rise, though. So I don't know what.
Talk me into it.
But you know what you can buy? In Wonder and in Thor.
No, I cannot.
Great, that comes out then too.
Wow, you folks already forgot about it. It is X Square Enix Big Q 1 Tie 2.
That's true, because Outriders is April 1st, so it'll be outside of their Q1.
I literally just thought, like, oh man, the reviews are going to be fun to read of Balan Wonderland.
Yeah.
Yeah, if there are reviews.
I mean, based on what I've played, I don't expect it to get very good reviews.
Based on what I play, I hope nobody reviews it and just say avoid.
It's a game that, like, if I saw for $10, I might buy it just out of curiosity's sake, but not at $60.
I would say don't.
You'd say even at $10.
No, you ain't gonna play it. Like, you'll like play it for a half hour and conclude. Like, just get the demo. Like, you'll just conclude. Oh, okay. All my curiosity is settled here, and no.
Well, maybe it'll show up on Game Pass, and then we can all play it
together. There you go.
All right. We'll be back next week with that and the middle part of our video game tournament here. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.